seems to come around. I appreciate this man of God, how he has challenged and stirred our heart with the Word of God in these days. I'm going to ask that you stand and rest yourself for a moment, and you just listen to what he has to say to you. As Brother Ronnie said, he told us all was first. Brought us from the last of the line all the way to the front. Hallelujah. Preach to us, brother. I love you.
And as Brother Keith said, he came all the way to the back of the line to get me. That he did. You can be seated. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Verse 46. We've been looking at these earthly stories with heavenly meaning, and how the Lord just takes worlds that are so far apart, brings them together, lays them down, and as the parable means, he lets us be able to see one in the other. Worlds that are so unlike and yet alike. Not doing so to amuse us or captivate us, but these are life-changing stories. Looking at the natural, that's where we are, coming into your world to point out to you the things that you already see. But yet letting you see more than you see by taking you to the spiritual. Revealing the heavenly through the earthly. And then placing you right in the midst of it. So that it'll make application for your life. It'll have great meaning. And then lastly, but foremost, he reveals himself or the divine in the midst of all of it. Brings it all together, all the worlds, because ultimately he wants to reveal himself. This morning I want to read verse 44, and I want us to look into this natural world and see this spiritual. Find ourselves and ultimately be brought to the great treasure, which is the Lord Jesus. Let's look at that verse, and we're going to preach on the world of treasure. The world of treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure, riches, hid in a field, unseen, secluded, the which when a man, well, that's me, hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. I want us to look at this world of treasure. I just want to dive right in. I guess the question would arise, well, what is this treasure that's in the field? A lot of treasures that have been found and discovered. I've looked up many of them. I won't mention them, but of course there are the treasures of silver and gold from previous kingdoms, many ages ago, worth millions and millions of dollars that have been found. And then there are those treasures of the seas where the great ships went down to where they have been able to find great wealth. Yes. Treasures of art and artifacts. All kinds of treasure. But I submit to you that this is different than any other kind of treasure that has ever been found. Because the scripture tells us what's in this treasure. It's very clear. Look at that verse again. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like. You know what this treasure is? It's the kingdom of heaven. We could call it the kingdom of God. These words are used interchangeably in Scripture. They're both of the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. So here comes this man walking alone, and all of a sudden, he sees the kingdom of God. No wonder. Could you imagine? Do you know what composes the kingdom of God? God is in that kingdom. God's Son is in that kingdom. God's Spirit is in that kingdom. God's peace is in that kingdom. God's grace is in that kingdom. God's church is in that kingdom. God's will is in that kingdom. Matter of fact, all of God is in that kingdom. There ain't nothing that ain't in that kingdom that is of God. All right there. And here's a guy tending, plowing, or maybe he's heard that there's a treasure out there. But somehow he has come upon the kingdom of God. Not half the kingdom. Not a part of the kingdom. He's able to see at one instant all of the kingdom of God. You talking about taking you out of this world. Because that kingdom immediately takes you into another world. I remember that day. Walking down a little alley in Cleveland, Ohio, between 46 and 47th Street. Yeah. Clark and Train. Yeah. Nasty, dirty place. Worn out houses and everything else. Somebody had told me that there's a kingdom out there. I'd heard it. I'd went to church for three times. They said, well, there's a kingdom out there. You need to be a part of that kingdom. Mention the things of the kingdom. But I never paid no attention to it because I never seen it. Right. Kingdom don't make no difference to you unless you see it. Right. And here I was all by myself. And all of a sudden, in that one little nasty spot, the whole kingdom of God opened up. I saw eternity right before my eyes. My soul stared into it. I knew I'd never seen anything like that. It's kind of like, wow. And you know where he found this treasure? That field is the world, the Bible says. He found it in an ordinary place. A place where his occupation was, a place of his environment. Just going along right here on earth. It was on earth he discovered heaven. It's where he really had nothing, he didn't know it, that he found everything. Somebody said, I can't wait until I get to heaven to get. Honey, you already got. You say, how much you got? You got it all. You got it all. That'll get your attention when you walk up on everything. That there ain't nothing that God is or God has that ain't in there. All eternity's right there in the treasure. No wonder he stopped and looked. If you ever find out about heaven, you'll have to find out about it right now. And if you're waiting, you get to heaven to enjoy the peace of God, the grace of God, and all those other things of God. You ain't even going to heaven. Because, honey, what happens is that kingdom that you see gets inside of you. And did you know when God saved you, you didn't get part of God, you got all of God and everything God is? Everything he's ever is and ever done stepped right inside of you. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. What a treasure that is. Now, the question might be asked, have you found the treasure? Do you possess the treasure? The scripture said, John the Baptist came preaching, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven has been all over this place this week. How close have you been? Have you seen it?
Oh, that's good preaching. Yes, sir. That's good preaching. Yes, sir.
And I can't get over emphasizing everything that's in the kingdom. I saw that day. Just walking along, he said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man found it, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath by the field. Three, maybe four simple thoughts. I'm talking about this matter of the kingdom. Possessing the kingdom. Let me say to you, first of all, you will know you have possessed great treasure only when it has possessed you. It is evident that this man has been possessed. The songwriter said it well, something has got a hold on me. It's not so much, and yes, he did find this treasure, but I'm going to tell you something. That treasure wouldn't mean anything to him unless that treasure had found him. When he is looking at that treasure is looking back at him. He had found something that had found him. He realized and recognized that this wasn't just any old treasure. He saw that this was a kingdom treasure. But you see, if you ain't seen it, I can't show it to you. That's what preaching's all about, is simply trying to tell you there is a treasure. And it is at hand, but I can't show it to you. You'll have to see it yourself. Now, I'd heard them preachers preach on those three occasions I was in church talk about all that, but I hadn't seen it. But all the day came in this man's life, that he came upon the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, and it possessed him. They, some folks wouldn't come within 100 miles of this place because preaching don't mean anything to them. Worship doesn't move them. They don't have any joy. Nothing about the kingdom means anything to them. Why? Because they never seen it. I spend all my time telling my grandchildren. Now, they've all, just about except one, made professions of faith. But I don't put a lot of stock in professions. I realize the day's got to come when you got to see something before you can get it. It's going to have to reach out and get a hold of you. So what I do with these grand youngins, I sit around and tell them about the kingdom. I can tell in their eyes that it don't mean a whole lot right now. But one of these days, who knows when or where, suddenly they're going to walk upon the whole kingdom. And when they see the whole kingdom, you won't have to tell them about it. They'll come telling you about it. Oh, Daddy Dana, I remember when you was a preacher, I didn't pay no attention to what you said. It didn't grab me. But I've been looking in that kingdom. I've been seeing the Word of God. I've been feeling the Spirit of God. I've got the love of God. I've experienced the grace of God. I'm in the kingdom. You'll know you possess the treasure when the treasure first possesses you. Now, I was in Bible college there in Greenville, going to school. Wasn't even dating anybody. I was just interested in going with preachers across, around the meetings, camp meetings like this. And one day I was in my room studying, again minding my own business. An old boy that had moved from Spruce Pine, North Carolina, came down there to go to school, and Dr. Seidler would always send those bachelors over to my place. I guess he thought I had a motel or something. You go ask him. You can stay with him. I only had two beds. So he come knocking on the door, and happened to be one of the guys that had been there before had moved out, and he wanted. I said, well, sure. He'd been there about 4 or 5 months, and he'd been inviting me to go to the mountains. I didn't have no desire to go. One day he came into my bedroom, and he said, Brother Dana, I want to read you a letter. I said, what is it? He said, it's a Dear John letter. I didn't even know who John was. I said, well, go ahead and read it. He began to read that letter, and that girl began to tell him how that she wanted to serve God, wanted him to serve God, and that she was a praying for him, wanted him to pray for her, but didn't feel like it was God's will for them two together. Short story is, the more he read, the more I liked. And I said to him, you got a picture of her? Now, I ain't no Benny the Hen, but this is the truth. He pulled out a picture. I looked at that picture, and that picture looked back at me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I knew something had got a hold of me, thank God. I'm going to tell you, something reached out and grabbed me, and she's a-sitting here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the day when Jesus reached out of his kingdom and got me. The Holy Ghost reached out of its kingdom and got me. The Word of God reached out one day and got me and pulled me into the kingdom. I feel like I'm a part of a worldwide thing. I mean a heavenly thing on top of that. They ain't nothing that God is, I said, or has ever done that ain't in what you found. But it's got to possess you. And you'll know it when you can't just walk away from it. The poor souls that are so close to the kingdom and they don't see anything. You'll know you possess the treasure when it possesses you. Secondly, I would say to you, you'll know that you possess the treasure when it possesses you to possess it. The scripture said he hid it. That simply means he didn't want to lose it. He began his pursuance to make sure that everything that was in there was his. Because it had possessed him to begin the pursuit to possess it. His whole aim in life had been changed. He has been set on a new direction. He's got an ambition and one thing in mind while he's running back to his little world, because he's found another world. And it has possessed him to the point that he knows that he's got to possess that treasure, and he's going after it with all his might. He wants what he found. Prioritizes and he prizes. In other words, he ain't gonna live with less once he's found more. Now, my wife's gonna kill me for this illustration, but it works. I didn't just see that picture and say, wow, nice looking gal. And then go back to sleep. The wheels started turning. Now, he'd invited me to go to his house. He wanted me to see the mountains, and I know why now. I mean, it's beautiful. But he didn't ask me to go this time. All in the same sentence. When I looked at that picture, and the Holy Ghost said, you see her? I said, I sure do. I lowered that pitcher, hoping he wouldn't catch on. I said, when's the next time you're going home? He said, 2 weeks. I said, I'll go with you. And I made my pursuit. I'm going to tell you, up those mountains where I'd never been, to a people I did not not known a place that was foreign to me. And I went into that little church. Now, I can't tell you what they preached. I wasn't thinking about that. Don't know nothing about it. I was up there to see my treasure. I couldn't just leave it alone. I couldn't just lay it down. I couldn't just pray a little prayer and just go on and live my life. I couldn't read just a little verse and put the Bible down. It had sucked me into it. And my great aim was to possess this position. I wanted it more. I'm going to tell you, that day God created a desire in me to want the things of God more than anything in this old world. I had to have it. I love my kingdom. I love His word. I love His people. I love worship. I love the things of God. I love it. Why? Because I found a treasure that had found me. You'll know you've got the treasure You'll know that the treasure is yours. When it possesses you so much until you want to possess it. I didn't even want to give an outline for all this. I'm trying not to. All I'm thinking about was, wow. I mean, it just dawned on me. Everything's in there. And it possesses him. And it possesses him to possess it. But then can I say to you lastly, you'll know you possess that heavenly treasure when you are possessed to give up all your possessions to possess it. You no longer want both. You no longer want two. Nothing of your life has any value at all when compared to the treasure. And you can tell when folks have got the real treasure of the kingdom or not by what value they put on what they've got as far as this world is concerned. He ran back to the house, and the Bible said he sold it all. You say, why? He was throwing lock, stock, and barrel into the kingdom. The only way that you can really enjoy the kingdom is you got to be possessed by it. You got to want to possess it. And you got to be willing to forsake some possessions to go and possess it, because you can't enjoy both. He didn't sell a couple of things. He didn't say, well, let's just see what we can get rid of and what we can hold on to. He said, no, honey, I found something that's worth getting rid of all of it. And he roared back and jumped right in the middle of the kingdom. That old drunkard will say, you know what? I'm done with that alcohol. That old drug addict will say, you know what, I'm done with those. I'm done. You'll just come to, you say, I'm just done with me. I found the kingdom. Woo, did I find. And he found that heavenly, honey, that heavenly kingdom's right here. You don't have to wait to get to heaven. It's here. Preacher said to me, he said, the other day, he said, I can't wait until eternity. I said, why? You don't need to. You got it now. We're living eternal life now. Didn't you see it in the kingdom? He's possessed to possess it. Joe Parsons said many years ago, had as much impact on my life as anybody. I only heard him preach 4 or 5 times. He said a fellow come up to him one day and said, Joe, and said he was a millionaire. He said, Joe, I'd give all I've got to be able to walk with God and know God and the kingdom like you do. He said, well, that's exactly what it'll cost you. Giving it all up to possess one thing. I'm talking about the world of the kingdom. What it's like to find God, possess God. Making you so radical and finalizing your life because now you ain't looking for anything else. Why would you? You done found it all. Spread the good news. I found it all. He said, honey, there ain't nothing left to find. It's all there. The kingdom of heaven. But you know, you'll know you have found the kingdom of heaven. You possess it. Because from that day on, you'll be living out of those possessions. When I preach, I'm preaching out of my possession. When I pray, I'm praying out of my possession. I mean, it is something that God has already given us to operate our lives in right now and on this level. So we're a bunch of folks that in this old world, this natural world, God has shown us a heavenly kingdom. It has possessed us to possess it and forsake our possessions and to live out of that one possession, His kingdom. 52 years I've been drawing off the kingdom, and I've never went back and found any less than what there was the other time I drew off from it. It stays full. You can keep pulling out of the kingdom and it'll yet be there for the entirety of your life. The kingdom is there to supply all of the needs. And honey, it don't bother you as to what's going on in this old world, because you know you got a kingdom from another world. And I love to be around folks who've seen their treasure. You know what camp meeting's all about? It's a bunch of folks that have seen their treasure coming together. Because, see, the treasure doesn't change between us. You got the same one I got. That's why when I get up and talk about my treasure, you're saying, hallelujah! I saw that! I've got that! And you get 500, 700, 900 people together that's got the same treasure and they've all seen it. Look out! Huh? And when you really get stirred up is when somebody gets to singing about it and all of a sudden your mind goes back to that treasure. Somebody gets to preaching about it and all of a sudden you go to focus on that treasure. Then you can't contain yourself because you know how much you've got. And they'll just be preaching on one aspect of your treasure. And you're out here running around. I saw Sister Diane last night. Man, I mean, she was up and she was shouting, but it was like she was looking off in the distance. I said, she's looking at her treasure. She's looking at the Son of God. She's experiencing the peace of God. I'm going to tell you right in the middle of the will of God to know down here you can have everything. Thrills me to know that there ain't nothing I ain't got. I found it in the treasure. I love those people, and I'm quote, those people that have found their treasure. Marcel Harrison up in the mountains of North Carolina, I met her many years ago. She's in heaven now. Had a little daughter, Margaret, cerebral palsy. She had taken care of her whole life. That woman had experienced sorrow. In 3 years, she had lost 7 children from one cause or another. The doctor told her, or 6 children, the doctor told her, not to have any more, and she went on to have 7 more. She said, Brother Dana, I was so bitter. I didn't even want to go to church because it hurt me to see other people's wives, see women with their babies. Said, I went back home, and the doctor told my husband, said, Charles, you make sure that she's never alone because her state of mind, I don't know what she'd do. One day she said, Charles had to go to town, and he said, Marcel, I want you to stay right here in this chair. Don't go nowhere till I get back. He went into town, and she said, it was the fall of the year, and I said the leaves were as beautiful as they'd ever been. Said, I was sitting in that recliner, and I looked out there, and I saw those leaves. She said, I got up and I was drawn to it and said, I walked out there on the porch. And he said, all the beauty of the different colors began to wave at me. And said, out of the midst of those trees, God spoke. And said, Marcel, I've made every one of these leaves. And said, I know all about your youngins. I've got them up here. I'll take care of them till you get here. Just go on with life. She'd been into another world. She said, when Charles got back in 15 minutes, Charles said to her, said, Marcel, what in the world's happened to you? She said, I saw God in the trees. He is a waving at me and told me everything was all right. Oh, I'm going to tell you, a woman full of the Holy Ghost taking care of that little Margaret, having to carry her, bathe her, and everything. But I realized when I stepped into her house, I was stepping into a house where the kingdom was everywhere. A little old boxed house. She drawed a little old monthly check. But nothing of this world meant anything. But yet she's always giving out of that. I always wondered where it was coming from. When she passed away, I had 17 different flavors of jelly that she'd give me that had come out of that kingdom. I love that kingdom jelly. Yeah. 1993, we had that snow come through here. Y'all remember that? It came through out there. And it was cold, blizzard weather. Jonas Ridge, it measured 4 feet. It was 2 feet in our front yard. And we had less than anywhere else in the mountains. She had just a little old monitor stove, had to have electricity for it, and power was off over 3 counties. No power. I was worried about her, but before cell phones, I wasn't able to call her. I couldn't get out. And I thought, oh, Lord, what is Marcel and little Margaret going to do? Up at a holler. No heat or anything.
Good Lord. Go ahead, preach. Come on,
man. It's all over with. I got a hold of her as quick as I could. I said, Sister Marcel, how'd you and little Margaret make it in that house? She started talking kingdom talk. It's like she wasn't even surprised. She'd been looking into that kingdom for so long and drawn out of that kingdom. She wasn't even surprised. She said, Preacher, my brother Lawrence lives before me, down below me, and he told me his power had been off 2 weeks. I said, well, I understand that. And said, my neighbor above me told me his power had been off for 2 weeks. I said, well, that ain't no surprise. Our power is off all over three counties. He said, preacher, my power never flickered. Say, where'd that come from? Out of the kingdom, thank God. Woo! I said, don't tell Duke Power. They'll try to charge you for something. The Holy Ghost sent one of them angels out of the kingdom and said, you get over there and you keep that power going. Now, that was a story that only I knew, and I knew when I gave it that folks would say, oh, well, you know, he's... If you know Nathan Silvers, he's been down here. Anybody else know Brother Nathan Silvers? You know, you can get a hold of him. He happened to be the son of the man and woman that lived the next house above. So I'm talking to him one day. He doesn't know that I knew Marcel, any of them. Out there in the country, up a holler. And we got to talking and found out we both knew Marcel. And we just rejoiced that we knew Marcel. He said, preacher, I got to tell you a story. I said, well, tell me. Now, he told me first. You get a hold of him, he'll tell you it happened. He said, preacher, we had a bad snow years ago. He said, it was really cold. And he said, my daddy would make me go down to Marcel's house and shovel the snow out of her walkway and off the road there so she could, well, just have the snow out of the way in case she needed to go to the hospital or something like that. And he said, I went down there to shovel that snow and said, I was a shoveler. And said, I knew we didn't have no power, hadn't had no power. And said, I was shoveling snow. And I looked in there and a light come on. Said, I just walked around looking. I couldn't believe myself. There's lights on in there. Said, I went back up the house. He'll tell you. He said, Daddy, Marcel's got electricity. He said, no, sonny, she can't have. Ain't nobody got electricity. He said, she does. I said, hallelujah. I've got somebody to confirm what I've been saying, that out of that kingdom come the power to keep it on. That's the kind of kingdom I'm talking about. Kind of kingdom that every time you look into it, you want to say, woo! And that's why I tell my grandyoungins, I said, now listen, you don't understand this right now. But it's real what's going on here. And one of these days, you'll be walking along suddenly. And when it does, you'll know it because that's it. Everything's there. Everything's in there. Woo! Woo! And I'll tell you how to get a hold of you. Rode out west, me and my wife and another preacher, his wife, on motorcycles. First place we wanted to see was Grand Canyon. I'd never seen it. Brother Ernie, the preacher that went out there also with his wife, had never seen it. But before we got started, he started talking kingdom. And he'd cry. He cries, boy, but he's deep in his thoughts. He said, Brother David, I've been studying that high priest. And every time we'd stop somewhere, we couldn't eat. That high priest. He'd go right back there in the book of Hebrews. That high priest. He'd been looking in the kingdom. That high priest, man, was getting big to him. He didn't realize. See, you're constantly finding out. I say it's all in there, but you're just finding out.
Oh, yeah.
We rode all the way to the Grand Canyon. I promise you, every stop we made in those days, he cried and talked about that high priest. We got to the Grand Canyon now. I'm talking about a mile deep, a mile or so across, and many miles this way and that way. I never seen it. I was dying to see it. Got off the motorcycle. We was from here to that wall from the Grand Canyon. He walked straight up to me. He said, Brother, that high priest. He started to, I couldn't get my face away from him. And he's a crying. I said, Brother Ernie, we're at the Grand Canyon. Can we look at the Grand Canyon? He said, oh, that's just a hole in the ground. And he went on talking about what he done. He couldn't get over what was in the kingdom. Till everything else seemed so small. You know what I did? I got to looking into the kingdom.
Guaranteed.
I could see it in his eyes.
Yes, sir.
And I got more out of that than I did that. The number one thing I want to talk about the Grand Canyon is Ernie and the high priest. He just got to looking in his kingdom. That's what happens with preachers. They don't go, I mean, it ain't that they just wake up one morning craving fried chicken, don't want to go to work. They get that book, and they'll look through that book, which they know is God's kingdom. That's God's kingdom. And they'll look in that book, and then they'll say, oh, man, I didn't see that. Sunday tomorrow. I hope it's tomorrow. I want to go. I got something about the kingdom I want to share. And you get up and preach on that something about the kingdom, and some old saint that's already saw that something about the kingdom will come out of there and say, oh, I know what you're talking about. I've seen the kingdom. What preaching's all about is, you realize a lot of folk out there ain't seen the kingdom, and that, so what you're preaching ain't going to mean nothing to them. You're just telling them there is a kingdom. And hopefully God will show them. But what real preaching is when you realize there's at least two or three out there that's seen it. Now they'll help you preach. That's why camp means like it is. Because they've already been looking in there. He possessed it. Now listen to me. There ain't no richer person in this world. You're looking. There's no richer person in this world than I am, because I possess the whole kingdom. And it comes through him that is our treasure of wisdom. He is the treasure. Embodies everything in the treasure. And he's the one that gives us the treasure. And we got from here to heaven to look into it. A world of treasure right here.